Welcome to the Human Project for Kids podcast, the show where we think about your big questions about what we are, who God is, and how we are meant to live. Are you ready? Let's get thinking. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Human Project for Kids podcast. This is episode one, and we're so excited you're listening to us today. My name is Rachel McKenzie. I am an elementary school teacher and the co-author of The Human Project for Kids. And I'm joined by my friend, Reese. How are you doing, Reese?
I'm doing great, Rachel.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I've got five daughters. I make comic books and I get to be a children's pastor. So I like what I do.
Well, welcome here. We're so glad you're joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We also have two really special guests in our studio today, and I will let them tell you their name and how old they are.
I am Nate, and I am 9 years old.
Hi, Nate. Nice to see you. And?
I am William, and I am 9 years old, too.
Great. Thanks for being here, boys. We have a question to start off with today. We are wondering if you had unlimited Lego, what would you build with it?
I would build a Lego Batman machine called the Scuttler, which is a stripped lizard.
Nice.
And Nate, what would you build?
I would build a Transformer.
Cool.
What would your Transformer do?
Well, you could go into it and basically just be a Transformer.
That's cool. So it could be a robot and a vehicle.
Yeah.
Would it be like a car or like a jet or what would it be?
I'm not sure.
Maybe it could be both. Oh, you could build one that could be a jet or a car. That'd be pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Okay, and Reese, what would you build if you had unlimited Lego?
Ooh, if I had unlimited Lego, I would take the small bricks and I would put them together and combine them to make a big brick. And then I would make a bunch of those bigger bricks. And then I would combine those bigger bricks and I would make them into a mega brick. And then I would take a number of these mega bricks and I would make it into the ultimate brick. And then I would use those ultimate bricks to create a puppy. It'd be very big.
That sounds really cool. What do you guys think?
Would you ride it?
I would absolutely ride that puppy. And I would be very careful that I did not step on things. And I'd be very careful that my puppy did not sniff everything and eat everything. Because if you have a puppy, you should take care of your puppy.
Would you add a Lego bone?
Ooh, can your transforming robot turn into a Lego bone? That'd be awesome. Because then my gigantic mega puppy could eat lovingly gently chew your transforming bone.
Okay.
See, we're working together. I like this.
Okay, so William, I understand that you really love riddles, and you've brought one for our listeners. So do you want to tell us what it is?
First you throw away the outside, then you cook the inside. Then you eat the outside and throw away the inside. What am I?
Oh, interesting.
Is it the moon?
No.
It's not the moon? Is it a moth shaped like the moon?
No.
Felt like I was closer.
Nate,
with that
do you have an idea?
No, I do not.
No, you do not. I wonder if our listeners have an idea. Listeners, do you know the answer to William's riddle? Okay, William, why don't you let us know what the answer is?
Corn.
Corn.
Oh, corn.
Oh, I was so close with the moon guess. I was so close. It was actually corn. That makes more sense, actually. I get that now.
Okay, so today we are going to be thinking all about things that we make and use and what we make and use them for. Because you guys were already talking about transformers and these different things that we can make, I wondered if you could design a robot that could do anything in the world, what would you make your robot for?
Helping people.
Oh, wow. So how would your robot help people?
It will defend the city from my other ones that I'm going to make.
So you're going to
evil ones.
You're going to have some evil robots and a helping robot. That sounds great.
There's a balance.
Solve
there.
Your own problem. Okay, William, what would you make a robot for?
I don't know.
It's an interesting question, right?
Yeah.
I think that I'm really vertically challenged in my life. So I'm really short, and I have a hard time reaching stuff on the top shelf. And oftentimes the stuff on the top shelf looks the best. Do you ever find that?
Yeah.
So if I was going to make a robot, I would make one with springs so that it could jump really high and it could get me all of the stuff that I can't reach.
That's such a great idea. See, I thought your robot was going to like cut the bottom out of the shelf so that the whole shelf would drop down. But I think the spring idea would cost less permanent damage.
What about you, Reese? Would you create a robot?
Oh, yes, yes. See, usually people invent a robot to like solve a problem. My problem is that at the end of the day, I drop all my clothes on the floor. And then sometimes they're dirty and sometimes they're not so dirty and I could wear them again. However, how can you tell which is which? So my robot is designed to tell which of my clothes are clean enough to wear again and which are stinky. So it would have aroma sensors and it would also have a nose plug dispenser so it could give me a nose plug. And then it would have a warning siren that would go off if something was really, really, really smelly. And then it would have like a bin in its chest which would open up and an arm would shoot out and grab the radioactively gross stuff and pull it inside, and then it would have a flamethrower that would burn that dirty clothing so that nobody else would have to die. You're welcome, world. My sorting robot.
Wow, that sounds like a really cool robot. Nate, what do you think?
I think you might have should have done a washing machine instead of a flamethrower.
I like where this is going. Again, my ideas seem to be more destructive, and your guys' ideas seem to be more reusing things. I like this. I can learn.
Okay, listeners, we are going to take a quick break and learn some really fun facts about possibly the best building material available, mm-hmm. which is Lego. Are you ready? Let's go.
Did you know that the first Lego bricks were hollow? In 1958, they were the first company to add the tubes to help the brick snap together.
Wow.
Great addition.
Cool facts, William. Thanks for sharing. Did you also know that the bricks that they made in 1958 are still able to be used with the bricks that they made today? So those mechanisms of locking together haven't changed. Isn't that cool?
On average, there are 62 Lego bricks for every person on Earth.
That's a ton of Lego bricks. Okay, so welcome back, listeners. We hope you really enjoyed those fun facts about Lego. We are going to keep thinking about robots and the purpose that we make robots for. So we all were talking about different tools that we were going to give our robots so that they could do their job, right? So my robot was going to have springs and Reese's robot was going to have all these cool aroma sensors to be able to do its job properly, right?
Otherwise, people will die.
Which would not be good.
It would not be good. Stinky socks.
So we want to think about today, is it possible to use things for a different purpose, something that they weren't meant to be used for? And to do that, we are going to try a fun little activity. And this is something that, listeners, you could do at home too. All you're going to need is a box of Smarties and an assortment of utensils from your kitchen. Today, we're going to be using a spoon and a knife.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the International Smarty Scooping Championships. I'm your host, Angus McScotsman, and after 18 seconds of grueling competition, I can tell you that we are down to two finalists, Nate Brownhair and William Blue Eyes. The crowd is going wild, and the tension in the air is electric. We're taking now live to the competition floor for a live play-by-play commentary. Now, each has chosen their tool. Nate has carefully chosen a spoon, and we've got William who's picked up... Now, what is that? It looks like he's picked up a knife. Why, and what a knife it is. It's all shiny. Both of them are ready, and they are approaching the final batch of Smarties.
It's intense. You can just feel the intensity.
And they've begun. Oh, Nate's off to a great start. He got 5 with one scoop. William seems to be having a little bit more trouble with that knife. He's tried stabbing him. Oh, there's smarty remnants everywhere. They're scattered everywhere. Okay, he's trying something new. He's licked the blade now, and he's trying to see if that's going to help it stick. Oh, Nate's almost finished. This is not going to be as close as we expected from a final. Oh, and he's done it. Nate is the champion, the International Smarty Scooping Championships. We're going to see if we can come. We're going to get an exclusive interview. Hi, Nate. Nate, congratulations on everything you've done. Nate, why did you choose a spoon?
Because it would be easier.
Well, it certainly looked that way. Just congratulations, and just all that years of hard work paid off. Now, I just one second, I want to talk to William. William, you did a great job. I really appreciated the heart you put in there. Can you tell us, why did you choose a blade? Why did you choose a knife?
Because I wanted a challenge.
And you certainly gave yourself one. Well, ladies and gentlemen, all you amateurs at home who someday dream of being where Nate is now, you should know that probably a spoon is designed for picking up Smarties a little better than a knife. All right, that's it for now. Signing off, I'm Angus McScotsman, and we'll see you at next year's competition.
Okay, boys, so after that thrilling Smartie competition, we have learned that Smarties are definitely better picked up by a spoon than a knife. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So what is it about a spoon that makes it better to be picking up Smarties with?
Because it's more round.
Yeah. William?
Because it's meant for picking up stuff.
I love the word that you use there. It's meant for picking stuff up. That's what a spoon was made for, right? What are some other things that you can pick up with a spoon?
Ice cream.
I love ice cream.
Meat.
And maybe some meat, really?
And meat-flavored ice cream.
Okay, so all of these different objects like spoons and knives or robots or Lego is all designed for a purpose. It was created to do a special job, right? And we could even maybe say that the spoon was the perfect choice to pick up all of those Smarties. Would you agree? So listeners, we would love for you to try this activity at home. Grab a box of Smarties and a friend and choose two different tools and see which one picks up the Smarties the best. While you're doing that, we've got some more riddles for you.
What invention lets you look right through a wall? A window.
Fantastic.
What has to be broken before you can use it? An egg.
Of course, an egg. Nice. That was good, William. Thank you.
What has a face and two hands but no arms or legs? A clock.
Okay, so welcome back, listeners. We hope you enjoyed those riddles as much as we did. Now, just before we were sharing those riddles, I said that the spoon was the perfect choice or the perfect tool to use to pick up Smarties. Do you boys remember that?
Yep.
Okay, now, when I say perfect, do you know what that word means?
It does an awesome job of doing it.
It does an awesome job. When do you hear perfect?
Not that often.
Not that often. I often hear like perfect as being like this, I got perfect on my test, or if only the world was perfect. Things like that, where perfect is like this really far away goal that we can't ever get to. Have you ever heard people talk about perfect like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of a tricky word. And luckily, I have a friend who can help us learn more about what the word perfect means. Do you want to meet him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Here he comes.
Greetings, Sir Noah Ittle III, at your service. As always, I'm here to answer your most quizzical questions and conundrums. Now, I believe the question, dear Rachel, was about the word perfect. Well, the word perfect is sometimes used to describe something completely without fault. Never making a mistake. 100% right all the time. And obviously, there's only one way you can use that word, is if you're describing God. But in the Bible, in Colossians 1:28, we find out that God made us perfect. Now, it can't be the same word that we use to describe God, so this is obviously a different type of perfect. This type of perfect is not this impossible, unattainable thing. It simply means to fit exactly, to do exactly what we are made for. So when you and I do what God has designed us to do, we are perfect. And when we choose not to act according to what God made us to do, we are not perfect.
Thanks, Sir Know-It-All. That's really interesting. So perfect isn't just being exactly right, it's doing exactly what we were meant for. So, boys, I wonder, like the spoon you said was meant for picking things up, right? Do you know what you were meant for?
No, I do not.
To have a relationship with God?
Yeah, we were made by God to have a relationship with Him. And not just with Him, we were also meant to have a relationship with other people. And we actually can read about that in the Bible. In Mark, it tells us that we were made to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our strength.
Now, those of you guys living at home can't see this, but Rachel actually has gestures that go with that. What were you doing again, Rachel?
Okay, so try this at home too, okay? So, boys, you want to do it with me? Okay. You guys can think about at home. What would you do if you were going to make up an action for heart? Love it, okay? And
so that's
mind,
like hands to the chest, and that's nice. I like
let's
that.
Let's point to our heads. And strength. Show me those muscles.
Oh, I see biceps. I see triceps. I see cunning muscle.
Okay, let's say it all together. So we are supposed to love God with all of our
heart.
With all of our
mind.
With all of our
strength.
And we were also made to love our neighbors like ourselves. So that's exactly what William was saying. We were made, or we were meant, for living in good relationships with God and with people. Now, those are some big ideas, right?
Very big ideas.
Very
big. So big, my brain feels a little exploded right now.
So let's try breaking them down so we can understand them a bit better.
Break it down. 10-second dance party! Nice dancing.
Okay, now that we've danced it out, let's keep thinking about these ideas. So what are some ways that you can have a good relationship with God?
Reading the Bible.
Love it. Reading the Bible.
Going to church and praying.
Going to church and praying. And what is praying?
Talking to God.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. When we want to have a good friend, we spend a lot of time with that friend, right? We talk to them and we do different things with them. And so if we want to have a good relationship with God, we need to do the same things. We need to spend time with God. We need to talk to Him and listen to what He has to say to us. Okay, so we've thought about how we can love God or have a good relationship with God. I wonder, what are some things you do to have a good relationship with your friends or your family?
Spend time with them.
Yeah, we can do things we like together. Nate, what about you?
Talk to them.
Yeah, ask them about their day. William, you were saying earlier that you had a way that you could show your mom or dad that you really love them by doing something kind.
If they have garbage, you throw the garbage away for them.
Nice. That's a good one. Because I have kids too. And one of my favorite things is if I ask my kids to do something and they do it the first time, oh, that is so good. I like that. But then if I have to ask them three times or four times, it's like, it's like if the spoon broke. Like, you know, we were doing that thing before with the spoon and the Smarties. So obviously it's designed to work best like the first time if we do it the right way. But if the spoon was broken, that's like if I have to ask again and again for my kids to do something. So it just doesn't work. It's not how it's designed to work.
And so we are also a little bit broken because there's something that has come into the world, which means that we aren't perfectly how we were designed or meant to be. Do you know what that is?
Sin?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So sin is anything that breaks our relationship with God and with other people. And if we wanted to know what the perfect example of living in perfect relationship with other people and with God is, who could we look at? Can you think of a person who lived perfectly?
Jesus.
Jesus did, right. Yeah. And so we can learn more about what it means to live perfectly as a human by looking at Jesus's example. Now, is that something that we're going to ever be able to do on our own?
Nope.
No, why not?
Because we're sinful.
We're sinful, right? And we have this broken relationship. And so we need Jesus to help us. Do you boys know how Jesus helps us to have a relationship with God? What did Jesus do for us?
He died on the cross.
He died on the cross. And what did that mean?
You know how we were just talking about how each of us is broken? You know, sometimes we try to fix things and maybe we try to like wrap duct tape around it or get some crazy glue on that and it's never exactly the same. But when Jesus died for us on the cross, he made us like we're new again, like we weren't broken in the first place. He fixed it in a way that only God could because God designed us. So God made a way for us to be made unbroken. And that's what Jesus did for us, not only by making us unbroken, but also showing us how we can stay, you know, the way we're supposed to, designed.
And so when we live the way that Jesus tells us to live and the way that God tells us to live in the Bible, we can become more like we were designed to be, more like we were meant to be. And that's just a really exciting journey to be on, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So listeners, we want to thank you for joining us today and for thinking about how we are designed for a purpose, and that that purpose is to be in good relationship with God and good relationship with people. And so I have got a challenge for you boys and for our listeners. Are you ready to hear it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So my challenge for you is to go to the Bible with your mom or your dad or another adult who can help you to read it and to find either an example of how Jesus lived, or you could even read the Ten Commandments and mm-hmm. find out how does God want us to live. The Bible is kind of like an instruction manual, just like I'm sure you have instruction manuals for your Lego kits that you build. Do you?
Oh, yeah. You got to follow the map.
Oh, yeah.
Follow the map.
And what happens if you don't follow the instruction manual? Does it work out perfectly?
No, it does not.
You have extra pieces left over.
Unless it's a really small Lego set that you can just see how to build it from the box.
Yeah, I guess. But do you think, are we small?
No.
No. Is the idea of living a perfect life small?
No.
No, we definitely need help. And so my challenge for our listeners this week is to find somebody who can help you look at the Bible, which is our instruction manual, and find a way that you can work at loving God and loving other people this week. Does that sound like a good challenge?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us for this episode of the Human Project for Kids podcast. If you would like to find out more information on the other resources we have, you can check out thehumanprojectforkids.ca. Join us next week. Bye.
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 10-second dance party!